I'm going to let Walter talk about that. If you would, let's go to Matthew 11 for just a little bit, verses 25 to 27. I want to speak again about Revelation. Got a few more points. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And I said I had 6 points. I want to go ahead and just repeat them. First point, Revelation is not creation. It's nothing new. Revelation only comes from God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Revelation concerns knowledge, knowing, and believing Christ. And Revelation, to reiterate, to emphasize, is not from man. Number 5, Jesus Christ is the revelation. And number 6, revelation happens in time to the child of God, and it is necessary. Now, last week I talked about revelation is not creation. It's nothing new. There is nothing new. All we are being happening to us is the veil is being pulled away and we're seeing something that was already there. It's a revealing. It's not a making. And I was very good last week and I didn't mention Islam or Mormons or anybody else. Well, that's what it is. They say there's something new. There's something different. There's not. And there never has been. In this book, we have what we term a progressive revelation of the things of Christ from beginning to the end, starting with a lamb, starting in the garden, starting with God clothing Adam and Eve in coats of skin, covering their nakedness. And we see it built upon and built upon and built upon. And then we get to the New Testament when Christ shows up. And we get to the epistles where we're explained some of the things from the Old Testament. There was nothing new. It was all there in piecemeal. Revelation is nothing new. And revelation is from the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And I did examples of all of those. Because they all say in the scriptures that they reveal. It's the truth. Now, what they reveal comes to point 3. Revelation concerns knowledge, knowing, and believing Jesus Christ. Christ stated it here in verse 27. No man knoweth the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And, thank God for and whosoever will. No. That's what we hear preached everywhere. Whomsoever the Son will reveal. Amen. It takes the revelation of the Son, of the Father, and of the Spirit for anyone to know anything of the Spirit of God, of the truth of God, of the love of God, of the works of God, of the purpose of God, and of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Spirit. It comes by revelation. I thank God you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but he has revealed. And what he's revealed is the knowledge of the Father, the knowledge of the Son, and the knowledge of the Spirit. To whomsoever, hang on, we're getting quicker every time. To whomsoever he will reveal, that whomsoever will know. I think I got this one. Okay. We all right? Okay, sorry. The Son reveals. And if the Son reveals, you know. It's not just thinking. It's hard to explain, and to be perfectly honest, it's impossible to explain it to anyone who has never been through it. They won't get it. They don't know the things that are not of this world. Now, they know the things of the world very well. And they'll try to hold you to them. Yes. Don't you know evolution is a fact? Yeah, the Pope said so. Did he? I miss that. Darn. I miss all the good stuff.
He's a liar.
Yeah. And dead wrong if you really want to know the truth about it. That's okay. Don't you know the Pope's the vicar of Christ? I didn't know he needed one. Matter of fact, I know he doesn't need one. They don't know anything about the truth of Jesus Christ as he is revealed in this book. These words are true. His word is true. He is truth. It is a revelation of a person. The Father knows the Son. The Son reveals the Father. John, I just want to read this. This is John 17, verse 2. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Can't get away from that election stuff. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Here in Matthew, we're told the only way to know that is for the Son to reveal him. Revelation comes from God, but it does come to the child of God. And if you would, turn over to Matthew 16. And it entails knowledge, knowing, and believing Jesus Christ. Matthew 16, we'll just start 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm going to stop right there for a second, because That actually goes into the next point, the next verse. But here Simon Peter answered, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter knew that. Peter knew that. Peter believed that. And Peter spoke it out loud. That is so unbelievably precious. And the world has no idea of it. That this Jesus is the Christ of God. The Son of the living God. In whom the Father is well pleased. This man is God incarnate in the flesh. And that's what Peter said. That's what Peter believed. That's what Peter knew. And we had it in Matthew 11. It had been revealed to him. Christ is going to say it again. But Peter believed what he knew, and he spoke accordingly. Peter knew the Son, and thereby, by the words of Christ, he knew the Father. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. Also, you can't have one without the other. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. If you know Christ, you know the Father. If you know the Father, you know the Spirit. You can't have one without the other. It is God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. And Walter and I talked a little bit, and maybe I said it a little different, but he knew what I meant. They are distinct individuals, in a way of speaking. The Trinity is one of the hard things. Because three normally doesn't equal one. But these three are one. But the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. The Father is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father. The Son is not the Spirit. And the Spirit is not the Son. And I don't think I could say that again if I had to. But they are one. To know one is to know all. You're not going to know one without knowing the others. There was a group out there, and I don't know if they're still around or not, but they used to be designated Jesus only. I'm sorry, that don't work. It's the Father, it's the Son, it's the Spirit. All three. But Peter knew Jesus Christ. Here comes the next point. Revelation is not for man. And we'll find it in that next verse. After Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now we've already said in Matthew 11, and it says it here also, revelation comes from God. But right here, Jesus Christ is pointing it out distinctly and perfectly that you didn't learn this from flesh and blood. Revelation does not come from man. It never has. It does not now, and it never will. There is no dispensation no time, no epoch when this happened. Flesh and blood has never revealed God to men. Ever. It's a declarative statement because it's a fact. Any true knowledge, knowing and believing of God, of Jesus Christ, is of God. And any true declaration by a man of the truth of Jesus Christ is of God. The words of Jesus Christ, stating this plainly, settle it once and forever, although it won't. Revelation doesn't come from man. The knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, does not come from a man. Revelation comes from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I do want to say this. Man has been given the blessing. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, to not only know, but also to declare that Jesus Christ is God, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ. We can declare it. We are involved, if you want to put it that way, in the transmission of knowledge through the gospel. We preach, we speak, we talk, we write about the things of God and about the truth of Christ. We are not only allowed, we are encouraged to do this. But we cannot take credit even for passing on the message. Even though we do speak it, even though we do work at it, even though we are told to do it, commanded to do it, and love to do it, we can't take credit for it. John put it this way, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." We can't take credit for anything. Ever. Because even if we do speak the truth of God and lie not, which is what we shoot for, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We are involved in the transmission. We are involved in the preaching of the gospel. But we are not involved in any way, shape, or form in the revelation of it to the individual.
That's right.
Yeah. I have nothing to do with that. And neither do any of you. We preach the truth. We talk to our friends. We talk to our enemies. We talk to our co-workers. We sow seed. That's all we can do. The revelation belongs to God. He'll either reveal it or he won't. There's either good ground there or there's not. The sower has nothing to do with making good ground. He never has. God gets all the glory because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit do it all. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit just to truly say and to truly mean that Jesus Christ is the Lord. This world is not saying it. They'll use the same words. I like what Henry Mahan said that one time. They'll use the same words, but they got a different dictionary. They'll say grace when they mean works. That's right. I've heard it. They'll tell you what you have to do in order to be saved. You take the first step, and God will meet you there. As I said the other day, tell that to Mephibosheth. He was lame on both feet. And if I could take the first steps, what Henry Mahan said, I don't need God. Because the first step is to not be a corpse. I say, oh, with the gospel, we're throwing the line out, and you grab a hold of the line, and we'll pull you to the shore. Well, you pull somebody to the shore, you still got a dead body. Because the first step is to bring life into the dead sinner, and I can't do any of that. We are involved in the transmission of the gospel, in the speaking of the gospel, in the transmission of knowledge, words, but we are not involved any way, shape, or form in the reception. And that's what Christ is saying. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You didn't learn this from a man. Paul said it this way, he planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gives growth. Why? Because God gives life and revelation and knowledge, faith. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God. But God that giveth the increase. Paul is not denigrating or denying the work of preaching the gospel. I thank God I baptized none of you. God sent me to preach the gospel. He's not denying it. He's not denigrating it. But he's putting it in its proper place. He's letting us know exactly how much credit we deserve for the reception of the gospel. None. None. If God doesn't give the increase, there isn't one. If God doesn't give the increase, there is no increase. Our job is to sow good seed, to speak the truth and to lie not, and we sow it on any kind of ground there is. Because I have nothing to do with preparing the ground. The ground is the ground. And wherever you speak, that's the parable of the sower. There's stony ground, there's the wayside, there's good ground, and I forgot the fourth one. Doesn't matter. There's only one good ground. And it's God that gives the increase. Neither he that planteth is anything, neither he that watereth is anything. The sower never has any control over the ground. Hebrews put it this way. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The word preached did not profit some. There's nothing wrong with the word preached. There's something wrong with them. If God does not give the revelation, if the Son does not reveal himself, if the Holy Spirit does not come and reveal, there's no increase, there's no profit. And here it states it plainly, there's no profit because there's no faith in them that heard it. They heard it with the hearing of the ear. But their hearts weren't there. Stephen said that all you of uncircumcised heart and ears do always resist the Holy Ghost, just like your fathers did. There's no difference. But thank God. And whomsoever the Son will reveal him. There are those who profit from the word preached. The opposite is also true. Those who did not profit did not have faith in them. It follows that those who have faith in them will profit. God does give the increase. God does give the increase according to his purpose, according to his plan, and in his exact perfect time. And not before. And not after. God gives the increase. We are told that God added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's just as true today as it was then. God is adding to the church daily such as should be saved. And thankfully, it's not up to me. It's his work, it's his way, it's his plan, it's his purpose, and it's his doing. I just have to tell the truth. That takes a lot off of me. I can't even be responsible for my own salvation, much less anybody else's. And just to have this perfectly clear, you guys don't want me in charge of your salvation. And I don't want it either. I don't want to be in charge of my own, and I am not. God gives the increase. And flesh and blood doesn't reveal this to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, and he's doing that daily to such as should be saved. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time and this place. For your truth, Lord. Your Son who came and gave himself willingly, lovingly, and suffered, was punished by you, forsaken by you, for the sins of his people. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness which we have in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.